Once Upon a Tune. The Columbia Workshop presents something new in American radio. Once Upon a Tune, a program for all the young in heart, no matter what their age may be. The sixth chapter in Columbia's book of radio cartoons is Henry the Spook, a tale told in the words and lyrics of Ray Darby and set to the lilting tunes composed and conducted by Morris Certain.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have great pleasure in introducing to you tonight Mr. Henry the... Gracious, what's happened to my voice?
So sorry, Mr. Biddle. It's my fault. Try it again, will you?
Ladies and gentlemen, I... Yes, that's much better. I have great pleasure in introducing to you tonight Mr. Henry Spook, the first member of the Spook family ever to be interviewed on the air.
Thank you.
Henry is here for the purpose of clearing up certain misunderstandings about himself and his family. So without further ado, I'll turn the microphone over to... Henry, where are you?
I'm in the piano. I love pianos. I never get enough of them.
Hadn't you better wait till after the program, Henry?
I like bass fiddles, too.
The script, Henry.
Pardon? Oh, yes. Well, I brought my family along for this occasion. May I present my wife, Henrietta? No, no, dear. Say hello in English.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen?
As you can see, Mrs. Spook is inclined to be a little shy.
No wonder. Here I am wearing the same old suit of mist I've been wearing for the last 20 years.
Tut, tut, my dear. You know it's very smart in England.
Yes, Henry, I understand that at the present time you're haunting an ancient castle somewhere in Sussex.
That is correct, Mr. Biddle.
Tell us, has that got anything to do with the name you're known by today?
Well, yes, it has. You see, I'm a believer in the old adage, when in England, do as the English do. It's a very popular trend over there. You've heard of Henry V, Henry VIII.
Yes.
And I have become known as Henry the Spook.
I see. Now, Henry, perhaps you'd like to tell us something about your life in that old English castle.
Gladly. I was placed in charge of the castle several years ago, shortly after the death of the Earl of Bacon and Ham, whose family had owned it since 1626. Yes, I mingle with the shades of England's finest in that quaint old castle, Mr. Biddle. Even the dusty pictures in the halls have an air of romance about them.
In the hallways of the castle, lords and ladies from a bright and saucy past. Jaunty spirits gay with powder, wig and tassel, all together in the drawing room at last.
At last.
Play a poker, play a wand, and we'll overlook the pond. Just live again a well-remembered day. Play a poker, play a waltz, and we'll overlook the fall. Just to dance again a merry roundelay. We're the courtiers who once made history in the days when knights were bold and ladies gay. We're the branches from a withered family tree. Let the music brush the dusty years away.
Away.
Play a poker, play a waltz, and we'll overlook the fall. Just to live again a well-remembered day. Play a poker, play a waltz, and we'll overlook the fall. Just to dance again a merry roundelay.
They certainly sound like charming people, Henry.
Very charming, Mr. Biddle. I'm constantly meeting them on my rounds of the castle.
Ah, good evening, Sir Percival. It's a fine night for haunting, isn't it?
I,
Have
Have you been up in the West Wing yet, Sir Percival?
I'm afraid not. Not yet, Henry, old boy.
You were scheduled to go up there and scare that manservant named Bullock who kicked the dog this afternoon.
Quiet, quiet. Frightful bully Bullock. Give him a few groans, clanking chains, and what not. Splendid idea.
But why haven't you done it, Sir Percival?
Why? Been too confoundedly busy.
Efficiency, Sir Percival, efficiency. I don't like to remind you why they sent me here.
Efficiency, bah! Blasted young whippersnappers.
Sir Percival, your organization here has been a discredit to spooking. Your budget for chains, creaking hinges, and blood-curdling sounds is a mile in the hole. I'm going to put this castle on its feet or know the reason why. Your schedule is on the wall in the dungeon. Follow it.
Impertinence, Lady Guinevere, how nice to see you.
Oh, my Percival, I haven't seen you since before the Battle of Hastings. Now, let me see, that must have been in 1066, or was it 1065?
You haven't changed a bit, dear lady. Beautiful and charming as ever.
And you have lost none of your gallantry.
Lost me head, though. Dreadful melee, the Battle of Hastings.
By the way, Lady Guinevere.
Yes?
Your gown is in pretty bad shape. Better call the apparition's outfitters and order a new one. Get something a little snappier this time while you're at it.
I beg your pardon.
Efficiency, Lady Guinevere, efficiency.
Nonsense, what rubbish. Shall we go for a stroll, Lady Guinevere?
Oh, delighted.
Don't forget to sign the sheet before you go off duty, will you?
Bosh. Come, Guinevere. The others are gathering in the library. Shall we join them?
Charmed. Oh, how I long for a sight of the old familiar faces.
Quite. I say, Guinevere, whatever happened to good old Kitty?
Kitty? Well, the last I saw of her, Kitty was haunting the Masonry Arms, an exclusive bachelor apartment in London.
Naturally. How I long for the dear old days.
And that's where I work today, in that pleasant old English castle among those interesting people.
It sounds wonderful, Henry. But I'm sure our listeners are eager to hear something about your earlier life.
Oh, we're really quite ordinary, you know. We simply go about haunting for a living, just as you do when you go to your office every day. I brought along some of my equipment to demonstrate for you, if you're interested.
By all means, Henry. What's this thing?
That's my chain. I drag it around like this. And here I have a variety of strange sounds. And I also flit about hither, thither, and yon like this.
Hither?
Thither? And yawn.
Very interesting indeed, Henry. I've never seen it. Now what? There goes my voice again.
I'm so sorry. I forgot to mention I brought along my hollow room effect, too.
Well, take it away again, will you, please?
Right away. Now, how's that?
Oh, that's better. Much better, thanks. You certainly know a lot of tricks, Mr. Spook.
I had to learn, just like everybody else. Now, before I was allowed to go out and do any haunting at all, I had to spend a year at the Spook School.
Do they actually have a school for spooks, too?
Naturally, Mr. Biddle. How else do you suppose we'd learn our trade? I well remember the day we first began our studies of how to frighten friends and scare people.
Now, class. Class. The first thing we must all learn is whom to scare and whom not to scare. For example, we never, never scare old people, sick people, or little children. The only exceptions to this rule are old people who are mean and stingy and children who are bullies. And that brings me to the very important subject of booing. As you know, the boo is the most commonly used method of scaring. In the case of a mean or stingy person, you may boo loudly, like this. Boo! Now,
In the case of a child who is a bully or who tells lies and exhibits bad table manners, we do it much more gently, like this. Boo! Now then, will you please repeat after me? First, the loud boo. Boo!
Boo!
Very good. Now, the gentle boo. Like this. Boo! Excellent. I can see this class is headed for great things.
Please, teacher.
Yes, Henry?
Do we have a special boo for animals?
We'll come to that later, but in the meantime, I may tell you that with animals, we use the term zoo, not boo. The word zoo will frighten even the fiercest ones.
Thank you.
Now then, students, as you know, much of our work must be done from cupboards, dark hallways, and gloomy attics. We have to become experts at such phenomena as sifting through keyholes, and I have here a demonstration keyhole that we use for practice. Henry, would you like to be the first to try sifting through?
All right, teacher.
Good. Now watch closely, class. Right up here, Henry.
It's a pretty small keyhole.
You'll run across many that are much smaller than this when you go out into the world, my boy. Come now, head first, Henry.
Like this?
That's it. Twist your head a little. The best method is with a sort of corkscrew effect.
I think I'm getting it.
Fine. Now the shoulders.
It's not as hard as it looks.
Of course not. Later on, we'll be going through keyholes with keys in them. Good work, Henry.
I made it. I'm on the other side.
Now straighten your nightgown, Henry, and brush the cobwebs off it. Remember, we should always try to look our best.
I'm going to try walking right through the door like my dad does. This is easy.
No, Henry, wait. We haven't come to that yet.
I can do it. Watch me. Here I come.
No, no.
Ow! I thought I could do it.
Let that be a lesson to you, Henry. Remember what the ghost of Confucius say. A spook on the haunt is worth two in the hospital.
Yes, we learned our lessons well at Spook School. I'm happy to say we've never had a failure in the entire history of the school.
A remarkable record, Henry. But tell us, when a spook graduates, is he given a degree of any kind?
Oh, absolutely. We're given a DSC, Doctor of Scaring.
Well, well.
Ah, the happiest year of my life was the year I spent at dear old Spook School. I can still hear the school song ringing in my ears.
Here's to the year at dear old Spook, where we learn our haunting ways. Here's to the halls and the moss-grown walls, where we spend our college days.
Though there may be a time when the midnight time finds us old and gray and weak,
we will haunt once more in the dawnlight.
After graduation, we step into our first jobs. Beginners must start in the poorest haunting places, of course, and as they improve, they go on to better things. My first job was in a small forest. I tiptoed along in the dark, not making a sound, like this. Like that. You couldn't hear me, could you?
No, not a sound, Henry.
Well, there I was, tiptoeing along through the forest, shaking in my bare feet. And I kept on drifting along like a shadow, ever so quietly, just drifting along through the woods.
My word, what was that?
Only a rabbit. I brushed it as I passed by, and the rabbit happened to be ticklish. So I said, "Excuse me."
I should think so. Why don't you look where you're going?
It's pretty dark in here.
Then you ought to eat more carrots. Don't you know carrots help you to see in the dark?
I don't care for carrots.
What kind of an animal are you, anyway?
I'm not an animal. I'm a spook.
Never heard of you.
I'm supposed to scare people. Aren't you terrified?
Certainly not. Don't be silly.
That's funny. Zoo!
Zoo yourself.
Oh.
You've got indigestion, Bud.
That was a groan. Didn't it scare you?
No.
Ah!
Hey, listen, what's wrong with you, Spook? I'd go and see a doctor if I were you.
I'm trying to scare you.
Is that what you're doing? Well, you're wasting your time. You better go and try to scare somebody else. I'm busy.
But you're a rabbit. And if I can't even scare a rabbit...
Scram, you bother me.
I guess I'll just never be a success. Never. I can't even frighten the bunny.
But I worked hard. I practiced for hours every day, and after a while I found that I was able to scare small creatures like squirrels and birds. I used to blow drafts that scattered the leaves, and sometimes I'd sit in the crotch of a tree and howl. I began to get confidence in myself. Soon I was offered a better job. They gave me a cupboard in the home of an old miser, and it was my duty to boo loudly every time he passed the cupboard door. I'd wait until I heard his footsteps coming near.
Who's that? Who's in my cupboard? I said, who's there?
Who?
Who is it?
I am the ghost of your poor departed brother-in-law, Arbuthnot Entwistle.
No! No!
Yes. Remember that night.
No!
Remember the blood stain on the basement stairs.
No! I...
Think.
No, no, please. Don't make me think of it. I'll reform. I'll give all my money away to charity. Go away, Entwistle. Let me forget. Let me forget!
That must have been a terrible experience for the old miser, Henry.
I suppose it was, but it was my first successful job, and it gave me a wonderful feeling of confidence. I completely reformed that old miser. He became a kind, sweet old gentleman who helped elderly ladies across the street and made large donations to the orphan's home. You see, Biddle, we spooks often do a great deal of good. Well, after having such a cramped time of it in the miser's cupboard, I felt I was entitled to a little vacation, so I took a week off and visited a delightful little swamp near Bridgeport, Connecticut. It was there that I met my wife, Henrietta, who was holidaying at the same swamp. One evening, Henrietta and I were sitting on a mossy log at the edge of the swamp.
Isn't this a beautiful evening, Henry?
Wonderful, Henrietta. This damp, misty air makes you feel like a new spook.
Doesn't it? You can sit closer to me if you'd like to.
Golly. Listen to those frogs.
What harmony.
Henrietta.
Yes, Henry?
I've been thinking. I've got a very good future, you know.
I'm sure you have, Henry.
And soon I'll be able to have a little home of my own and...
Yes, Henry?
Well, I was just thinking. I mean, we've been drifting around together for a week or so now.
Yes, Henry?
Do I stand a ghost of a chance? Will you... Will you become Mrs. Henry Spook?
Yes, Henry.
So Henrietta and I were married. What a lucky spook I was.
You have a family, I suppose?
Oh, yes. My children were here a few moments ago. They were... here they are.
Where?
Oh, I forgot. You can't see them. Well, there's James.
Hello.
Jean.
Hello.
Jack.
Hello.
George.
Hello.
John.
Hello.
Janice.
Hello.
And Montgomery.
Hiya.
That's Montgomery. He's always been a little different from the others.
Yeah, I'm a supernatural delinquent.
He's just full of high spirits, really. We're a big, happy family, Mr. Biddle, and you could drop in at our house in the Netherworld almost any day and find us sitting around like perfectly normal people. Henrietta.
Yes, Henry.
Will you bring me my smoke jacket, please? There's a draft coming in the window.
Most likely it's Montgomery, dear. Do you want the cigar smoke jacket or the campfire smoke jacket?
I'll have the cigar smoke jacket. I think it's warmer.
All right.
And Montgomery, if that's you blowing through the wall, I wish you'd stop it. Why don't you go and play hop spook with your brothers and sisters?
I'm practicing blowing drafts, Pop.
Well, I hope you'll grow up to be a really good draftsman, Montgomery, but please practice somewhere else, will you?
Okay, Pop. Here I go.
That boy.
Here's your smoke jacket, Henry.
Thank you, my dear.
Is there anything interesting in the Daily Haunt today?
Well, they're releasing 10,000 cubic feet of oomph for new houses.
Oh, wonderful. Do you suppose we could get enough oomph to do over the back bedroom, Henry?
I'll look into it tomorrow. Where are the children, Henrietta?
Well,
What do you say we gather around the piano and have a little song?
Oh, that would be very nice. Children!
Montgomery! Must you always jump in through the window like that?
I'm practicing for jumping up and down stairways, Pop.
Well, I'd much sooner you did your practicing somewhere else.
Okay, Pop.
Now, children, let's have a little song.
Yes, yes.
What shall we sing?
Let's sing Spookery Doo.
Oh, yeah, let's sing it.
All right.
Oh, that silly thing.
Oh, never mind, dear. If the children want Spookery Doo, we'll have it. Now then, ready?
Once a little spook in the basement sang as he haunted merrily. Sang a song of love to his lady spook above, and this is the melody. Spookery Dook, ah ha ha ha, spookery gallery in a hotelery, spookery nummery, can't you see? Spookery Dook is me.
Now maybe the words are crazy, and maybe my head is hazy, but my heart will always be full of love and loyalty.
Spookery Dook, ah ha ha ha, spookery fellery in a hotelery, spookery nummery, can't you see? Spookery Dook is me. Spookery Dook, ah ha ha ha, spookery fellery in a hotelery, spookery nummery, can't you see? Spookery Dook is me.
See, Mr. Biddle, our home life is just like the home life of any normal, happy family.
Well, this has certainly been a most interesting interview, Henry. I want to thank both you and your family for coming down here to my studio.
Was there something else, Mr. Biddle?
This microphone, Henry, it seems to be moving back and forth. I've never known it behave like this before. Would you happen to know what's causing it?
Oh, dear, I'm afraid it's Montgomery. Montgomery, come away from that microphone. We're going home now.
No, I'm having fun, Bob.
Never mind. Leave it alone.
Okay.
Now then, what were you saying, Biddle?
Drummer, would you mind not beating that drum just now? We'll be through in a minute and you can play.
I am not beating on any drum.
Then who is?
Montgomery, behave yourself! Montgomery, get off that piano this minute!
I'm beginning to think you should have left that boy at home. Hey, listen to my voice now. What's happened?
Oh, that boy. Montgomery!
I just turned this little mouse off!
Well, turn it back again!
Okie
dokie. There. That's better. Too bad Montgomery isn't visible. You never know what he's going to do next.
Ooh.
Don't do that! Haven't I always told you, Montgomery, never spook till you're spoken to? Go outside. Montgomery, get away from that microphone. I'm sorry he's behaving like this, really. I wouldn't have let him come if I'd thought he'd...
Boys, boys! Stop that awful racket! We're still on the air!
It isn't the orchestra, it's Montgomery.
I'll give you the licking of your life! Stop that this minute, do you hear me? Stop it, Montgomery!
Why did you get him out of the window?
There. That's the only way I know to get those spooks out of here. Turn the switch and cut them off the air.
Not us.
We're the portraits in the hallways of the cops, lords and ladies from the bright and saucy top. Jaunty spirits gay with powder, wig and tops. All together in the drawing room at last.
At last.
Play a polka, play a waltz, then we'll overlook the fall, just to live again a well-remembered day. Play a polka, play a waltz, then we'll overlook the fall, just to dance again a merry roundelay.
That's all about Henry the Spook, Chapter 6 in our book of radio cartoons entitled Once Upon a Tune. Ray Darby wrote the story, Morris Certain drew the musical illustrations, and the radio edition, under the auspices of the Columbia Workshop, is produced and directed by Carl Beyer. Bill Keane played Henry Spook, and Sandy Becker was our interviewer, Biddle. Next week, we'll present the story of the struggles of a 25-cent piece to do something really worthwhile. You'll hear this song when Two Bits buys some fun for five kids.
Riding around on the merry-go-round on a sunny afternoon. Nobody knows where the whirligig goes, but it's over all too soon. Ride a bike charger like rockets are old, a pinto or sorrow like cowboys of old. You're riding around where adventures abound on the merry-go-round.
Tune in then next week at the same time and follow our account of Two Bits, Chapter 7 in the series Once Upon a Tune. Don Baker speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.